From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. We are now 2 weeks into the 2019 legislative session. We'll update you on what you need to know, including a pleasant surprise on what didn't get introduced this year. And we'll also talk about the highlights and significance of the annual March for Life that took place in Lincoln this past Saturday with thousands of Nebraskans and compare it to the dramatic expansion and legalization of late-term abortion in New York. Monday will mark day 13 of the 2019 Nebraska legislative session. Bill introduction has concluded, committee hearings have begun, and after day 10, which is the last day a bill can be introduced, state senators introduced 739 bills and 7 constitutional amendments. That's more than any legislature since 2005, and for comparison, during the last long session 2 years ago, lawmakers introduced 667 bills. This is a lot of legislation, 739 bills and 7 constitutional amendments. And with well over 700 bills, they cover just about every issue and topic you can think of. And these bills are legislation that will directly affect you and your family. And so there's a lot out there for state senators to grapple with, and there are some big debates coming our way down at the state capitol. Nebraska Family Alliance is working on, advocating for and against, and closely monitoring a lot of these bills. And to make it easy for you, we've developed a bill tracker page over at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where you can follow and get information on the most important bills affecting sanctity of life, education, religious freedom, and human trafficking. It's a great resource. It's a quick and easy way to see what's out there and what's happening with these bills as they continue to progress through the 2019 legislative session. And there are some really important bills, both good and bad, that we're working on. For example, we've talked previously on the show about LB 209, which is the Abortion Pill Reversal Information Act. It would require abortion facilities to inform women seeking a medication abortion about the abortion pill reversal protocol, which gives women a second chance to choose life even after taking the abortion pill. This is about information and giving women real choice. No one should have to find out later that they could have continued the pregnancy and saved their baby if only they knew it was possible. This legislation would make sure that everyone knows it's an option based in science, and is perfectly safe for both the mother and her child. And there's more abortion-related legislation. LB 294, this is the state budget bill that includes an important pro-life provision to prohibit taxpayer dollars from funding abortion providers. This was a major accomplishment last year, and this language has to be included in the state budget every year. So it will be before lawmakers once again, and it is critical that provision protecting Nebraska's Title X taxpayer dollars from subsidizing the abortion industry remains in the state budget. On the flip side, there is also legislation to expand abortion in Nebraska. LB 503 would eliminate the essential and common sense requirement that a physician be physically present in the same room when an abortion is performed, prescribed, or induced. This would make it so that when an abortion is taking place, the attending physician would not even have to be in the same room. Nebraska Family Alliance will be opposing that bill, as well as an entire slate of anti-religious freedom bills that would severely restrict and threaten the First Amendment rights of Nebraskans to live and work according to their sincerely held beliefs. There are multiple bills, I think by far the most that we have ever seen in one session, that would violate religious freedom. Multiple bills that would ban faith-based biblical counseling for both adults and children, even if they are actively seeking that type of counseling and they want to talk to their pastor with issues that they are struggling with. from a Christian perspective. There is also a bill that would change the required language in wedding ceremonies by striking the terms husband and wife and replacing it with gender-neutral terms. This means that in order for a couple to be legally married in the state of Nebraska and recognized as a married couple, the pastor or minister who is performing their ceremony would not use the terms husband and wife. This is not only censoring speech, it's an outright assault on religious freedom. And the same exact law that has been used not as a shield against actual discrimination, but as a sword against people of faith like Jack Phillips, the baker from Colorado, or Bernal Stutzman, the florist from Washington, or Chief Kelvin Cochran, the former fire chief of Atlanta, and videographers and artists and even farmers all across the country, that same bill that has been used against them has been introduced here in the Nebraska legislature. So there's no shortage of bad bills out there, and NFA will be working to oppose them. But thankfully, there are also some more good, positive legislation that has been introduced on the issue of human trafficking. Senator Linehan of Elkhorn introduced LB 518, the Trafficking Survivors Act. It is a serious, comprehensive bill to substantially increase supportive services that are available to victims of sex trafficking. This is a huge need in Nebraska. Our state has taken tremendous strides in recent years to better combat human trafficking by increasing penalties and doing a better job of aiding survivors. But there is a continual need for increased supportive services, and that's what this bill looks to correct in our state. That should receive widespread support. And Senator Linehan also introduced on day 10 LB 670, which is a bill to create greater school choice options in Nebraska by enacting the Opportunity Scholarships Act. This creates a new tax credit to incentivize private donations, not public dollars, private dollars, to nonprofit scholarship-granting organizations who provide scholarships to low-income families so that they can have the option to attend the school of their choice. Busloads of supporters and school children came to the state capitol on Thursday for a rally and press conference in support of this legislation. State Senator Lou Anne Linehan, again the sponsor of the bill, said that, quote, "This legislation empowers parents with additional options to improve academic outcomes for kids in private and public schools. It's an investment in our kids and our state's future that will not harm public schools." This is the school choice bill for 2019 to provide more families with choice in education. Both the governor and lieutenant governor spoke at the rally promoting school choice and saying that we know every kid learns, but not every kid learns the same way. One size does not fit all, especially when it comes to education. And Nebraska actually ranks 49th, almost dead last, in the country for parental education choice. In other words, we don't really have school choice in Nebraska. That's why this bill is important. Different kids have different needs. Different students do better in different learning environments, and parents should have more control of their children's education than the government. It's not about public versus private. There are great public schools. There are great private schools. It's about giving more families the choice to make the decision that is best for their individual child. Opportunity scholarships are a critical means of helping low-income families without diverting any public money away from public schools. And from a dollars and cents standpoint, in 17 states that have this type of opportunity scholarship tax credit, it has saved states an estimated upwards of $3 billion to date. Because using private dollars to reduce the number of students the state needs to take care of and pay to educate directly leads to substantial local and state savings. For example, a nonpartisan analysis from the Florida Legislature's Office of Program Policy Analysis and Government Accountability found that for every $1 in education tax credits offered, taxpayers saved $1.49 in education costs. Not only would this bill save Nebraska money in the long run, but more importantly, for many families, faith-based values are an essential part of their lives and desire to have those values instilled in their children at school. This diversity should be celebrated by allowing greater school choice options for parents through greater school choice. Private scholarships help meet this need and provide parents and students with the educational outcomes they desire. And right now, it is difficult for low-income families in Nebraska to have their children's educational needs met, and it is critical we bring school choice to Nebraska to give parents the freedom to control the education of their own children. That's why we are supporting LB 670, so thank you, Senator Linehan, for bringing this important and needed legislation. And while there's a huge number of bills, it's also what didn't get introduced that is positively surprising and good news for protecting the sanctity of life. We are happy to report today that at the conclusion of bill introduction, there is no bill to legalize assisted suicide. This is a huge win in and of itself that no state senator brought forward legislation to legalize assisted suicide, because there have been multiple previous attempts in recent years to do so. Senator Ernie Chambers has previously sponsored this legislation to legalize suicide as a medical treatment option. But he nor any other state senator brought that bill back for consideration this year. The fact that no senator even brought this legislation forward is a sign that more citizens and lawmakers are realizing the policy implications and consequences that accompany assisted suicide. Advocates of physician-assisted suicide refer to this type of legislation as aid in dying, death with dignity, or previously in Nebraska under Senator Chambers' bills, the Patient Choice at End of Life Act. NFA opposes this type of legislation because physician-assisted suicide endangers the weak and vulnerable, corrupts the practice of medicine, and violates both human dignity and equality. The compassionate choice is to treat illness and end pain, not prescribe death. And so it's very curious to me, since Senator Chambers, he's not someone to usually drop issues that he brings forward. For example, on the death penalty, he once again this year reintroduced his bill to repeal the death penalty. He once again brought back his bill to prohibit the hunting of mountain lions. He once again brought back a bill to protect black-tailed prairie dogs, but he did not bring back his bill to legalize assisted suicide. And so this is news that should be celebrated as a victory for the sanctity of life and in protecting the sick, vulnerable, elderly, and poor from being pressured or forced into ending their own life as a legitimate medical option. The fight against physician-assisted suicide has brought many people together from across the political and social spectrum, including medical professionals, as well as groups that advocate for people with disabilities, people who experience depression, and the elderly, as well as advocates for people with terminal illness. Elected officials should reject this legislation, and the fact that this bill wasn't even brought forward for consideration is a good thing and actually in line with the national trend. According to the National Review, a Gallup poll shows that support for assisted suicide is falling nationwide, and this appears to be the case here in our state as well. And so while there are a lot of bills out there that will need to be opposed in 2019, assisted suicide will not be one of them, and that is good news for protecting the sanctity of life in Nebraska. Last week, state senators also considered and debated a rule change to require votes for committee leadership positions to be open roll call votes, like all other votes taken in the legislature. This proposal, however, failed by just 3 votes. So the important elections of committee chairmanships will remain shrouded in secrecy, leaving constituents to wonder how their state senator voted on some of the most important and influential votes they will take during their entire time serving in the state legislature. These are votes that should be public, because the public deserves to know how their state senator, their representative at the state capitol, is voting for who they want to lead the legislative committees, which is an essential and important role, because committee chairs control when a bill gets its hearing and whether or not they're going to allow a vote to be taken on the bill to be advanced to the full legislature. These are powerful positions that influence what legislation and policies get enacted into law. And by keeping these votes secret, it leaves a lot in the dark. And it's a disservice, I think, to the public, who deserve to know what's taking place with these votes. You know, we hear so much about honesty and transparency in government, and right now, those elements are missing from some of the most important votes taken in the legislature. And again, this proposed rule change to make those votes public failed by just 3 votes. And it was Democrat senators who voted as a block to keep it that way and keep the vote secret. The Nebraska unicameral is officially nonpartisan, and we hear an awful lot all the time about how important that is and how there shouldn't be block voting by parties. But when it came to voting on this rule change, all the Democrat senators voted to keep it that way. So for now, committee leadership election votes will remain secret and undisclosed to the public, and that's a rule that needs to be changed in the future, and hopefully future legislatures will continue to take this issue up and provide true honesty and transparency in government by making those important votes knowledgeable and known to the public so that they aren't left wondering and in the dark about how it came to be that certain senators are in these really influential leadership positions, controlling committees, and what bills make it to the floor. It's a change that needs to happen because the public deserves to know. This past Saturday also marked a really important and special day at the state capitol in Lincoln, but it didn't have anything to do with the legislature or what our state senators were doing. It had to do with thousands and thousands of Nebraskans gathering together outside the state capitol for the annual March for Life, which is the largest annual ongoing demonstration in the state of Nebraska to this day. And it is a sobering day, but it's also a powerful display of the commitment to advocating and defending unborn human life and advancing the belief that every life is precious, valuable, and deserving of protection. There were a lot of lawmakers on hand who spoke at the rally and participated in the walk to promote pro-life policies and reaffirm their commitment to this issue. And it's an issue that so many people care deeply about, as they should. Because when you compare Nebraska and what took place at the Capitol Saturday with thousands of people marching together as a unified voice for the unborn, and you compare that to what happened in New York this past week, where the state of New York, their legislature passed and their governor signed into law a new expansion of abortion, legalizing abortion up to birth through the full-term pregnancy for almost any reason, we can see how important it is that we continue to make our voice heard. According to World Magazine, the New York legislature this past Tuesday legalized late-term abortion and removed criminal penalties for botched abortions or other violence that leads to an unborn child's death. This sweeping new law would also remove the state's ability to prosecute a Kermit Gosnell-type offender who was an abortion doctor from Philadelphia who murdered children in his abortion facility after they were born alive. And the New York legislature and Governor Andrew Cuomo were not bashful or shy about their support for this new law. He even wore a pink tie and was cracking jokes about how many years it took to pass the law. And this is what really, I think, shocked me and a lot of other people. He ordered the One World Trade Center to be lit in pink to celebrate this new law. Think about that for a moment. The One World Trade Center stands as a beacon of resilience against violence and extremism, and it was turned into a symbol of support and celebration for this new law legalizing abortion up until birth for any reason. And what some people may not know is that included in the World Trade Center Memorial in New York, it bears the names of all of those who lost their lives in the 9/11 attacks, and it also bears the names of the unborn children who lost their lives that day. And it was lit up pink to celebrate this new law legalizing the state-sanctioned destruction of unborn children throughout an entire pregnancy, up until birth, for almost any reason. Because here's what this new law does. It stipulates that third trimester abortions should only take place for the health of the mother. But health of the mother has such a broad definition that it can apply to almost anything, including emotional health. It also provides that abortions can be performed by health professionals other than doctors, removes abortion entirely from the criminal code. A medical examiner is no longer allowed to investigate a death caused by a suspected criminal abortion, how is that women's health care? And this new law defines abortion as a right, whereas before it was merely legal in New York. The cognitive dissonance needed to support this law is astonishing. But unfortunately, this isn't anything new because the health exception has long been recognized as being abused by abortion providers to perform late-term abortions. And as a reminder, the United States is one of only 7 countries alongside North Korea and China which allow elective abortions after 20 weeks. And here's the other thing that people need to understand and be reminded of. This came from conservative blogger Matt Walsh, who said, in a late-term abortion, the baby is killed and then delivery is induced. So think about that. They're delivering the child anyway. The child is coming out and the child can survive outside of the womb at this point. Why terminate the child? Why not deliver them alive and put the child up for adoption? Why does it have to come out dead? This type of law proves that the goal is not to improve or protect maternal health, because the only reason to terminate the child rather than deliver the child alive in the third trimester of a pregnancy is that the child simply isn't wanted. It's the child's mere existence that opposes the health risk, not the pregnancy. The pregnancy can be ended by delivering the baby alive rather than terminating the child to end the pregnancy. So if you think that elections don't have consequences, or that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics and should stay out of government, remember what happened in New York, and remember what took place in Nebraska this past Saturday, because Nebraska is a strong pro-life state and people are working tirelessly to keep it that way. And that's why we have to keep working, because all life is valuable. And pro-life people aren't just anti-abortion. They are committed to supporting life in all its forms: children in foster care, adoptive families, pregnant women, newborns, and their mothers. We can love and support them both. Because as science tells us, the unborn are unique from day one, starting from conception. This movement is not just pro-birth. It is truly pro-life because it is pro-baby, pro-woman, and pro-science. And that is a fact that we need to keep celebrating and fighting for. Nebraska Family Alliance is working every day to advance family, freedom, and life so that marriages and families thrive, religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated, and life is cherished and protected. And we hope that you will partner with us in that mission. You can find more information about all of the issues that we've talked about today and follow the bills that we are working on in the state legislature by visiting our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We are all about providing you with the tools and resources for free to stay informed and take action when these issues that matter the most are coming up in our state. Sign up for NFA's e-network to get up-to-date action alerts and information that you need to stay in the know and help make a difference here in Nebraska. And join the Capital Link. Capital Link is NFA's texting network, where if you sign up, we will text you our most urgent prayer requests when critical votes are being taken at the state capitol and when we need people to take action and contact their elected representatives. This is a very limited texting service. We're not blowing up anyone's phones. These are solely reserved for the most urgent prayer requests and updates. You can join by texting PRAYNFA to 402-979-7729. That's text PRAYNFA to 402-979-7729. We'll be back next week with more information and updates on the latest happenings from our national and state capitals. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next time. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.